FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio.
This is no way to start a show.
Really? I thought it was
Nickelback?
Listen. All right, welcome to Second Amendment Radio. I'm Aaron Tarlow.
You do
with
it.
My co-host Tony Colombo, and
I'll talk when this music's gone away.
burning down the radio waves with his awesome selection of music. Today is going to be a great day. Chad Ellis, our producer.
No more Nickelback, please.
No, that was all right. That's fine.
Yeah,
Tony
attitude.
Vetoes it. His attitude.
Nickelback gave him attitude.
Here, I'll do it.
I mean, it was like, couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing.
Oh,
you know?
Boy.
Like, that was good.
All right.
I could relate
here we
to
go.
That.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory and Nickelback fan, apparently. And
just maybe that song.
Chad Ellis, our producer on The Wheels of Steel. How are you guys?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm excited.
I'm a little uneasy right now.
Why? Because I didn't like the Nickelback?
Of course.
I was surprised because you probably played that on the point.
We probably did.
Probably.
And I didn't like it then either.
Played it till it couldn't play anymore.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was on the top 40. Anyway, so today we've got...
I liked it the first time it came out and it was called Pearl Jam.
The first time. Pearl Jam was good. I definitely rocked some Pearl Jam and I got that little... What did you guys call that? Little something or another?
Lil Nas,
like N-O-S.
N-A-S.
N-A-S.
Don't do this to yourself right now.
Hey, listen, I'll put it on my Spotify. It'll be good. I'll be a Lil Nas fan in no time.
All right.
So today we've got an awesome show lined up.
We do.
We've got
a great guest coming up.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited because I follow this guy on my Facebook, and he's got several pages on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to spoil it, but it's coming up, and it's going to be awesome. For those of you that live... in Jefferson County, for those of you that have threatened to leave St. Louis County or St. Louis City if they emerge,
yeah.
This is probably the county to go
yeah,
to.
Absolutely.
I know that I'm personally going to be moving there because there's lots of room. And guess what?
I am going to spoil it.
Guess what I can't see?
Because we want people to be excited about what's coming up.
I can't see my neighbors. But go ahead. Tell them who it is.
Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak is going to be joining
Bam.
Us for the second and third segments of the
show. It's
going
to be awesome.
So he's going to be here for most of the show, most of the hour with us.
I'm going to spoil it for you. He's a totally a pro 2A guy.
Yeah, but
and totally, I wouldn't want to say put it in words, but he seems to me like a constitutionalist.
Yes,
or maybe a libertarian. So he's
a freedom
fighter.
I want to get his thoughts on red flag laws because I know he has put out some opinions about red
Absolutely.
Flag laws on Twitter, like you're talking about. And I know that's sort of what grabbed your attention, Aaron, and kind of started the ball rolling on getting him on the show. So I want to talk to him about red flag laws, and I just want to talk to him about policing in general.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's one of these guests that I just have a feeling they're going to have to come back. Because
yeah.
I got a bunch of questions that we could probably just do a whole show about,
mm-hmm.
and our listeners would probably be like, this is a good show.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, I just want to make sure everybody knows this. These are his opinions and not necessarily...
Sure.
You know, policy, et cetera. But
sure.
I tell you what, I moved to Jefferson County. He's got my vote.
Yeah, but they're good. I mean, we're talking, I think he's been in law enforcement for close to 30 years. And so,
yeah.
you know,
and he went,
his opinions
yeah.
come from a very
long
place of knowledge.
Yeah. yeah. And
he
was, he could probably maybe speak to this a little bit more, but started off as a patrolman. And then I think he was a captain, maybe
yeah.
even a little bit higher when he finally became elected sheriff
so,
when
yeah.
Sheriff Boyer
so
left.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great talking to Sheriff Dave Marshak. Keep it here for that. Right now, let's talk about what's happening at Southern Armory.
Southern Armory.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what do we got going on at Southern Armory? So we still got our Glock stuff going on. We are a Blue Label dealer, so you can come on down. We are still selling suppressors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can come down and look at some suppressors. I'm actually trying to line up a couple of company reps.
Oh,
for them to come in and chat with us about their suppressors, and we do stock their suppressors, particularly Texas Silencer Company. We've got their stuff in stock. And the cool thing about them, and we've been carrying them for a little while now, but they are pretty popular with the competition shooters. They do really do knock down the decibels when you're shooting, and they have direct thread models, and then they have some rifle caliber, 30 caliber stuff, and then they have some 22 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They come in awesome boxes. I know people go, you never buy the gun based on the box, but I'm telling you, it's a pretty cool box. like I was like,
it's
and
a
it,
perk.
Yeah,
it's a perk.
It is. It definitely is, and it's a high quality, good quality, American made suppressor. on top of that. So it's like awesome wood box, direct thread, very unique, a lot of capacity inside, which, you know, capacity is really what matters because it has to be able to trap all those escaping gases. Buy one, get one half off CCW classes through Mother's Day.
Oh, that's cool.
Don't forget about mom, guys.
Yeah.
That is sons and husbands. And I would even
throw in the daughters, too.
Yeah, it's a good deal. We give you lunch, includes your range fees. If you need a pistol, we've got you covered there. You just got to buy our ammo. So really, it's a good deal. And you can get it as a gift certificate. You got a year to use it. So you don't need to use it between now and Mother's Day. You've got some time.
My very own mother has expressed interest in a CCW.
You mentioned that.
So I might have to take advantage of that. And her and I maybe come down and take the class.
And kick it. Yeah, it's a good day. We had a class over last weekend. Yeah, the Saturday, last Saturday. And it was an awesome class. It was I don't want to say it was small. It wasn't large, but it was that perfect size class. We had a lot of new shooters in there.
Yeah.
Which was great. Guys that are like, I don't know nothing. A few women that are like, I know nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we'll help you. Not a big deal. And actually, I got a couple of messages from them. They found me on Facebook, which apparently I'm not doing a good job of hiding myself on Facebook. But hey, I'm just saying, because I'm not Aaron Tarlow on Facebook. And yet, I guess they were kind of maybe searching.
Finding you.
Yeah, they found me. I don't know if they liked us on Southern Armory. And long story short, it just happened. Let's see here.
While you're looking, I want to remind folks go to the Facebook page, Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, and Southern Armory Facebook page. Next week is Crazy Music Week, round two. And if we pick your music, 30 minutes in the simulator, right?
Right, 30 minutes in the simulator. We've got
That's amazing.
So here we go. This is from the guy. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for making that class fun. And for putting up with, this is like his girlfriend or fiance's antics. We had a blast and love your little Piper. He's talking about Piper, my daughter.
Yeah.
You gained a customer for life out of me. And then his fiance sent a similar message over. And I'm like, awesome.
Good. That's very cool.
I like it when I get that feedback.
Yeah.
And that he was a new shooter and so was his fiance. And and Piper, you know, comes in and out and we'll demonstrate stuff. And she's going to be a shooter. I just know it. We're raising her right. It's going to be great.
Don't forget that those Facebook pages, both Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio, are great ways to communicate with the show throughout the week, especially if you have questions. We try to answer as many questions as we can here on the air, but if you have questions through the week about gun laws or gun rights or just guns in general, like which is the best gun for you as you're thinking about purchasing, Aaron answers all those questions on Facebook, so it's a great way to get your questions answered, get information from the show throughout the week on Facebook, Southern Armory, and Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. Do your wrap-up thing.
Because, do my wrap-up thing. Yeah. Well, real quick, the next thing after Mother's Day is Employee Pricing Weekend or Memorial
Day. Oh, nice.
And I heard, so Mother's Day, you know, we're going to end the buy one, get one half off.
There you go.
But I heard that it's coming back for Memorial Day.
Take your class with buy one, get one half off for mom. And then after Memorial Day, go get your guns.
Right. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
We're closed Monday, so it's Memorial Day. But come in and get save some cash.
All right.
So
where are we at, young man?
Where are we at? We got time.
It is time to
wrap it up. All right, so do your thing.
Southern Armory, located 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road, and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com?
That's southernarmory.com.
All right, we need to take a break, and when we get back, Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County is going to be in studio with us. You don't want to miss this discussion, so don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. For Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. Chad Ellis, the producer on The Wheels of Steel. Now, at break, I heard you were playing different songs, and I heard Aaron say, that's a good one, Chad,
that's not the one you're playing. That's not the one I said. Hey, you know what
Of course not. We have to save the best for last.
There you go.
You know what I just realized? You know, I'm in a different seat because we've got an awesome guest I'm super excited about. But my cough button is right here for uh-huh. this microphone,
right?
And the one for that microphone is
over
there.
Uh-huh.
So last week I was coughing and I kept hitting
the wrong button.
I was like, oh, it's really weird. I can still hear myself in here. And I'm like, oh, maybe they can just hear me. It's not getting recorded.
Right. Well, no, you were hitting the wrong button.
Oh yeah, I was hitting the wrong button.
So you just mentioned our awesome guest joining us in studio, as we mentioned in the last segment. Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak is here with us. Sheriff, thanks so much for joining us today. How's it going?
I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys.
Yeah, I was super excited. I kind of explain how this happens. I follow Sheriff Marshak on Facebook and on Twitter, and he tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
What is the proper
tweeted
term? Tweeted. He tweeted out something that I thought was really awesome. So of course I had to send him a direct message and was like, "Hey Sheriff,
you want to come on the radio?
You want to come on the radio show?" He's like, "Who are you?"
And, and which tweet was that?
That was the red flag law.
Yes,
and that was they kind of killed it and then added it as an amendment over to another bill, and then it'll
rear its ugly head again. It'll rear its ugly head again, and if it doesn't this session, it will again. And the tweet you made reference to was me kind of bragging about Rob Vescovo, and he's a leader in the Missouri House, and he's looking out for those who are interested in protecting our rights. Uh-huh. And so I gave him a little shout out and I said, I appreciate his hard work. He was able to kind of knock off a bill before it ever really went too far.
Awesome.
But those things will they'll pop up again. The fight's not over.
I agree.
And it's something that we constantly have to be vigilant and keep in mind that there's those people out there that are going to, at any cost, try to make changes that impact our Second Amendment rights.
Yep, absolutely. And I want to just give a quick... We talk about red flag laws on this show more than any other radio show, maybe in the country.
Right, I would say it's...
Certainly in the area.
The top two topics on this show are suppressors
and
red flag laws. Those are the two that we talk about a lot.
But just in case people are wondering exactly what a red flag law is, this is basically these laws that we see popping up all over the country. Some make national news when they happen. And Sheriff, if I get anything wrong, feel free to jump in and correct me. But essentially, they all have their own nuances throughout the country. But essentially, it boils down to this ability for someone to file a complaint against a gun owner that they go and they claim that the gun owner is somehow dangerous to themselves or others. And without the gun owner's knowledge of this happening, a court order is given for the police to come over and take those weapons away, again, without any knowledge of the person who's got this complaint filed against him, until the officers are knocking on his or her door, telling him to give up his firearms, and then you lose your guns, and then you can begin the process of trying to get them back.
Absolutely.
You have to go and fight. You have to go and file an appeal and go into court and try to get your guns back. So you are literally guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. So we see situations where there's a family fight or maybe an ugly divorce, and people have used these red flag laws to stick it to somebody that they don't like or a neighbor that they don't like.
I've said it's legal swatting, and that was a term that came up
swatting,
in the Xbox players, and I guess PlayStation players would like get mad at another player and then call in a...
So in a nutshell, did I get it right, Sheriff?
Yeah, it's pretty concise. You know, I call it an unfunded mandate for law enforcement purposes. It's
definitely
an unfunded mandate that could violate our Constitution in an attempt to prevent a hypothetical situation that would probably otherwise occur just without a gun.
Now, here's the surprise. We have seen, you just illustrated how lucky we are in the state of Missouri that we have a Republican supermajority. We have a lot of people in Jefferson City that are very pro Second Amendment, very pro gun rights. Missouri in general is a very Second Amendment friendly state, much unlike our neighbors in Illinois, who have a much
harder time
than we do. However, there are other states around the country that have Republicans in both the Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate and the governor's mansion that are still passing these red flag laws. And we see sometimes the NRA and law enforcement from time to time on the side of these people that are supporting these red flag laws, which to me is always shocking. So just, Sheriff, in your words, why are red flag laws dangerous and unconstitutional, at least in my opinion, they are?
So I would have to put it in perspective in terms of every law that has been presented is a little bit different. And so it might vary in title, and I think the substance might vary a little bit. And so I'd have to look at each individual piece of legislation. But I can tell you, in the state of Missouri, the legislation that has been proposed does not allow for due process. And and that's probably one of the biggest concerns, is that, you know, you mentioned the fact that any person with a close relationship can, you know, file one of these complaints or one of these orders. Have you ever had a buddy that had a crazy girlfriend?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or gone through a contentious divorce?
Yeah. So, and, you know, in my years of law enforcement, I've encountered numerous situations in which persons will file false claims. And, you know, later on, there's evidence to suggest that. But the fact is, you're not allowing gun owners due process when this happens. And it's if you look at our Constitution and then the way that these laws are under the, you know, auspice of, you know, preventing some potential hypothetical tragedy that nobody could predict later,
right.
It's a problem. And we're not into, you know, this isn't the Minority Report movie where we can predict what's going to happen in the future. And we shouldn't be taking away people's Second Amendment rights on the hypothetical possibilities of a situation happening later with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably my biggest issue.
What is it? What? How do you react when you see other members of law enforcement getting behind these or the NRA in certain situations getting behind these red flag laws? Like, where are they going wrong in their interpretation of these things?
You know, I don't know where people go wrong sometimes. you know, how the train leaves the track sometimes. I mean, I think a lot of times people respond to crisis situations in an emotional way, not in a pragmatic way. And, you know, when we look at legislation, we have to look at it from a couple of different perspectives, particularly those that are going to enforce it later, right? It's the same way I view a policy for the sheriff's office. You know, I will look at the Constitution first, and that's the foremost priority, number one. We'll look at local laws, and then after that, how it impacts our standards in law enforcement for maybe accreditation. But any policy has to be realistic with the resources that are in place. And law enforcement agencies do not have the resources to do this imaginary, you know, to enforce these imaginary, well, that didn't come out right. So I don't,
I
lost track a little bit, but I will tell you that in terms of
broad,
our policies.
Yeah, these broad, you can't be in everybody's home and everybody, you know, you can't, it's too broad.
As sheriff, I have to make sure that both the policies are enforceable and that our officers have the resources and the capabilities to enforce that. I will tell you that I cannot imagine the complexities that arise as a result of some of this legislation that is created. Because I can tell you that from a law enforcement perspective, if a red flag law was actually in place in Jefferson County, for example, more than 700 times annually, a suicidal person will call for help. So more than 700 times a deputy responds.
That's twice a day for people trying to do the quick math.
Right. And, you know, we already struggle with the mental health aspect from a law enforcement perspective. And now we are asking, you know, our police officers to attempt to further diagnose and decide whether this person actually should even own a firearm.
Right.
Talking to Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County, you know, I always like to tell the story that we heard originally from our friends at the Missouri Firearms Coalition about a situation up in New York just this past Thanksgiving, where a brother and a sister.
Maryland, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Maryland? Okay, yeah. I knew it was Northeast. So, brother and a sister who are grown, I think they were in their 50s, each of them, together over Thanksgiving. And the brother is a conservative gun owner, Trump supporter, and gets into an argument with his liberal leaning sister.
Like non physical, just,
An argument, just a family argument over Thanksgiving.
Philosophical debate.
Absolutely, even though you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have those dinner conversations about politics. And the sister gets mad at the brother and calls a red flag law on him. The police show up, things go bad, and the guy ends up getting shot and killed. Then the sister is mad at the police for killing him, saying, he wasn't a threat. I was just mad at him, and I knew that taking his guns away would really
get him
stick
bad.
It to him. And so that right there, that's enough. From that one story is enough for me to say we need to rethink the way that we look at these red flag laws. Is there any changes that could be made to the bill that would allow you to get on board, Sheriff? Or is this just from top to bottom a bad idea?
I think it's bad policy. I think that we as a society are looking for a way to prevent tragedies. And unfortunately, we are in a constant struggle because the people that believe by, kind of trampling on our Second Amendment rights, somehow this will stop these tragedies, and it's not. The fact is we have a mental health situation in our country that is underfunded, and we deal with it every single day. But to believe that, taking away access to firearms will somehow prevent any other tragedy is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, again, we're blaming a firearm for all the tragedies that happen in our country. We are constantly looking to blame somebody and to put blame somewhere else and trying to rationalize how something could happen. And the easiest fallback is to go back onto a firearm.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? You may not know the statistic, but when your officers respond to a assault, what's the statistics for guns versus a knife versus a tool, baseball bat, golf club, something like that? Is firearm pretty down the list?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in terms of general assaults, yes. I think one of the statistics that I am familiar with was, in terms of suicides, right? In Jefferson County last year, we had 52 suicides.
Okay.
And so oftentimes people will claim, in this red flag law, for example, right? The person may be in danger.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the argument. Well, if you're going to prevent them from being in danger, they probably shouldn't operate a motor vehicle because that's twice as likely. We lose many more citizens as a result of motor vehicle crashes than we do in terms of firearms. But if you look at our county alone, in the last 5 days, we've had 5 suicides. Only one of them was from a firearm. Well, right.
The other one was pills. And
so you had various pills. You had a small engine where somebody brought a small engine to their bedroom.
Yeah.
And, another one was in a garage. And if you look at the different ways, I mean, some of the arguments that we have to protect people, we have to take away their guns for their own protection. The reality is if they're going to be motivated to commit suicide,
they're going
to
find a way.
They're going to figure out something else other than a gun. And I think sometimes it can just increase the likelihood of a lethal confrontation as a result of law enforcement trying to take away a firearm rather than, using other resources to accomplish that goal.
Let's say red flag laws got passed. Would you guys even have the ability to store that many guns?
It has to be funded. The courts don't have the resources to accommodate that. I can tell you that our courts struggle to process the cases they have now.
Right.
How? In just to Aaron's point, and then we need to take a break, but Sheriff isn't going anywhere, so we'll have plenty
more.
Glad to be here with you guys.
Last question on this red flag law situation. Just the realistic, from a realistic resources standpoint, you as sheriff, if your guys are out enforcing red flag laws and taking these complaints and going on knocking on doors and trying to take guns, how naked does that leave the rest of the county when they should be out, enforcing law protecting people.
It places an impossible burden on us.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. You know, if you look at a search warrant now, right, law enforcement officers, particularly our tactical team, is in a situation where we do a risk assessment. And the risk assessment is done to protect not only law enforcement, it's there to protect citizens. It is there to protect a suspect or person who's committed a violation. Because, you know, law enforcement officers do not want to make a critical decision involving, say, a possible gunfight next to a school.
Right.
Right. Other citizens are at risk. And so they do a risk assessment to make sure that they're going to be as safe as possible. There's some level of surveillance. And again, we try to mitigate risk. That's a lot of resources that go into prior to any execution of a search warrant. If you're talking an additional, you know, 700 or plus complaints, we simply don't have the resources for that.
That is Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County, and he's going to stick around for another segment. Got a lot more questions not regarding red flag laws for the sheriff, so don't go anywhere. We are going to continue. Second Amendment Radio next here on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Just want to remind you that if you missed any of today's shows or any of our shows, you can always go back on our website, 971talk.com, download our podcast absolutely free, or you can even better download the radio.com app. And on the radio.com app, you can favorite the radio station. You can then stream the station 24/7 and download all the podcasts that we offer here, including this one. Again, absolutely free. Pretty much anywhere that you get podcasts, you'll find our podcast. But the radio.com app is my favorite way to do so, so go and check that out. Also, don't forget about the Second Amendment Radio and the Southern Armory Facebook pages. Great places to communicate with the show and Aaron throughout the week. If you're missing us and it's the middle of the week and it's far away from Saturday and need us.
You know what I forgot?
What'd you forget?
We're doing the intro music contest, too.
Oh, yeah.
Next week. Post that up.
Next week is round two of Crazy Music Week.
Right.
So send in your crazy music for us to play.
Have you seen any of the links? Okay.
Yes, it's pretty good stuff.
I was like, oh, man.
Yep. Crazy Music Week redo. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Chad, who did you have? It was Little Something.
Lil Nas.
I heard
Lil
him.
Lil Cyrus.
It was funny because I don't think we're friends on Facebook, but on Facebook there was the Lil Nas with the dad and the daughter dancing. I don't know if you saw that floating around.
Dude.
I didn't see it.
I'm not
a Facebook person.
Lil Nas and Billy Ray Cyrus has made me cool to my kid again. I was singing it. And my 15-year-old was like, "Are you singing Old Town Road?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "How do you know that song?" I was like, "Come on, man, I'm hip."
It's Old Town. What is it?
Old Town Road.
Got nothing. It probably came out when you were a little kid.
No.
What? No. I don't know.
This is new.
It's brand new. It's the Billy Ray Cyrus Lil Nas song.
I know. I remember
the name of it.
I thought that was just like a remake of something old.
All right. We can't do this in front of guests. We can't do this in front of company.
We'll debate this next week.
Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County is still here, thank goodness.
We didn't chase him off.
Right. Wanted to ask the sheriff about some other thing. We just had a big red flag law discussion. Again, if you missed it, that podcast, go to radio.com. Download the podcast and check it out. Really great stuff from the sheriff.
And then go share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but if this city-county merger thing happens, I'm moving to Jefferson County.
Yeah. Sheriff, how long have you been in law enforcement?
28 years now.
How much has just the act of law enforcement changed in those 28 years?
I mean, everything's changed. The expectations for law enforcement has changed. I think the public's perception of law enforcement has changed. I think as a profession, we've had to adapt and become more professional.
Mm-hmm.
I think today's police officers are more professional than they've ever been. There's more accountability than there's ever been. It's not to say that there are not issues out there.
Sure. Right.
And we know there are not 100%, police officers out there that we're going to be proud of. I think it's my responsibility.
Every group has bad apples.
It's my responsibility for our organization, but as a profession, I think we have a responsibility to weed out those bad police officers. But I will tell you that the changes that have come since I've been in here, 28 years now, are good, and we've had some good changes. And you know, I think some of the old timers will say everything's bad. You know, when I was a police officer 28 years ago, listen, things certainly have changed from when I started. But the fact is, you're getting better service now. And there's more technology for these guys to work smarter and get better training. But it's not perfect. But I encourage the communities to keep investing in their police department if they want a professional organization. We'll be a better community as a result of it.
What's your stance on body cams?
I think there's a benefit to it, of course. I've seen it increase professionalism in some situations. I've also seen where it causes more issues as a result. I'm not opposed to body cameras. Mm-hmm. I just kind of compare it sometimes to the NFL, and we're very critical of calls made with somebody right there. And think about how much they invest in that video technology for a single game that they know it's going to happen right here. They have an idea of what's going to happen, right? And they still can't agree on calls. Yeah. Imagine a situation in which third parties are later reviewing the decisions made by police officers that have to make these critical decisions in split-second timing. And so the video is not always completely telling in terms of what happens. And it's very difficult. And I've been involved in use of force situations in which my supervisor showed up and asked me if I thought it was a good, clean use of force. And my response was yes. And then we looked at it from a video perspective, and it looked completely different than the force that was applied. And I've seen where it can be both a benefit, and then I've seen where, it hindered law enforcement to where we're further explaining how this could have happened.
I am generally pro, dashboard cameras, body cameras, all of that. But I am also always going to err on the side of the officer's judgment at the time because of that exact situation that you just illustrated. You have to remember, when you're reviewing it, sitting in a quiet, safe room somewhere, and you're trying to think about what your best decision would be if in that situation. Well, a lot of times, like you said, it's a split-second life or death, possibly, decision that these guys have to make. So you don't have the time to sit there and critically analyze the situation you're in. So,
and again, you have to put it in perspective. What I share is that how I handled crisis, conflicts, decision-making in my 40s is completely different than how I would handle crisis and conflict at 21. I graduated the police academy a month after I turned 20, I'm sorry. So, again, how I handled issues at 21, and I think sometimes we'll reflect back and we'll look at the situation and say, well, couldn't the officer have done this? Shouldn't he have done, A, B, C instead? And again, you have to look at it within the framework of which we're provided. And these police officers come from different experience. They come with different levels of education and different levels of training and experience. And all those things make a difference when it comes to making decisions on use of force.
Talking to Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak, wanted to get your thoughts on a big story this week happening in the news, the situation with this Ladue police officer, female officer by the name of Cruz, Julia Cruz. There was a situation at a store where a person was shoplifting, allegedly, and the officer thought she was pulling her taser to stop this person from shoplifting. I think she had had her in custody at one point, and then the suspect broke free and tried to flee. The officer apparently yelled that she was going to fire her taser, but what she actually drew was her firearm, and she ended up shooting this suspect, who is not dead, but obviously is wounded with a gunshot wound. This week, Wesley Bell, St. Louis County prosecutor, charged the officer with a felony count of
assault second.
Assault in the second degree. That is exactly right. And now this officer faces up to, I think, 7 years in prison.
Yeah, 1 to 7 is what I was reading.
Could you just break down that situation and talk about that charge a little bit, if that's something that you agree with or don't agree with?
Well, listen, I,
as far
I'm,
as a proper
I'm not
going
to, well, as far as proper charge, I think, you know, an assault third is probably going to be a little bit more fitting.
Probably
but,
easier to prove, too.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think the reality of the, I think when we really get down and look at this, this is going to come down to a training issue. Mm. And
it's also a perfect example of that split-second decision that somebody has to make.
There's another component there that we kind of miss. I mean, it's easy, you know, to throw back to a training perspective, but I will tell you that these come down to training issues, muscle memory, right? Making these decisions. And I can tell you that from a law enforcement perspective, we look at these as a...
News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio at the News Talk 97.1. Just want to remind you that if you missed any of today's shows or any of our shows, you can always go back on our website, 97.1talk.com, download our podcast absolutely free, or you can even better download the radio.com app. And on the radio.com app, you can favorite the radio station. You can then stream the station 24/7 and download all the podcasts that we offer here, including this one. Again, absolutely free. Pretty much anywhere that you get podcasts, you'll find our podcast. But the radio.com app is my favorite way to do so. So go and check that out. Also, don't forget about the Second Amendment Radio and the Southern Armory Facebook pages. Great places to communicate with the show and Aaron throughout the week. If you know, you're missing us and it's the middle of the week and it's far away from Saturday and you
and
need us.
You know what I forgot?
What'd you forget?
We're doing the intro music contest too.
Oh yeah.
Next week. Post that up.
Next week is round two of Crazy Music Week.
Right.
So send in your crazy music for us to play.
Have you seen any of the links? Okay.
Yes, it's pretty good stuff.
I was like, oh man.
Yep. Crazy Music Week redo. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Chad, who did you have? It was Little Something.
Lil Nas.
I heard
Lil
him.
Lil Nas Cyrus.
It was funny because I don't think we're friends on Facebook, but on Facebook there was the Lil Nas with the dad and the daughter dancing. I don't know if you saw that floating around.
Dude.
I didn't see it.
I'm not
a Facebook person.
Lil Nas and Billy Ray Cyrus has made me cool to my kid again. I was singing it. And my 15-year-old was like, "Are you singing Old Town Road?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "How do you know that song?" I was like, "Come on, man, I'm hip."
It's Old Town. What is it?
Old Town Road.
Got nothing. It probably came out when you were a little kid.
No.
What? No. I don't know.
This is new.
It's brand new. Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas song.
I know. I remember
the name
song.
Of it.
I thought that was just like a remake of something old.
All right. We can't do this in front of guests. We can't do this in front of company.
We'll debate music later. We'll do this next week.
Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County is still here, thank goodness.
We didn't chase him off.
Right. Wanted to ask the sheriff about some other thing. We just had a big red flag law discussion. Again, if you missed it, that podcast, go to radio.com. Download the podcast and check it out. Really great stuff from the sheriff.
And then go share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but if this city-county merger thing happens, I'm moving to Jefferson County.
Yeah. Sheriff, how long have you been in law enforcement?
28 years now.
How much has just the act of law enforcement changed in those 28 years?
I mean, everything's changed. The expectations for law enforcement has changed. I think the public's perception of law enforcement has changed. I think as a profession, we've had to adapt and become more professional. Mm-hmm. I think today's police officers are more professional than they've ever been. There's more accountability than there's ever been. It's not to say that there are not issues out there.
Sure, right.
And we know there are not 100%, you know, police officers out there that we're going to be proud of. You know, I think it's my responsibility.
Every group has bad apples.
It's my responsibility for our organization, but as a profession, I think we have a responsibility to weed out those bad police officers. But I will tell you that the changes that have come since I've been in here, 28 years now, are good, and we've had some good changes. And, you know, I think some of the old timers will say everything's bad. You know, when I was a police officer 28 years ago, listen, things certainly have changed from when I started. But the fact is, you're getting better service now. And there's more technology for these guys to work smarter and get better training. But it's not perfect. But I encourage the communities to keep investing in their police department if they want a professional organization. And we'll be a better community as a result of it.
What's your stance on body cams?
I think there's a benefit to it, of course. I've seen it increase professionalism in some situations. I've also seen where it causes more issues as a result. I'm not opposed to body cameras. Mm-hmm. I just kind of compare it sometimes to the NFL, and we're very critical of calls made with somebody right there, and think about how much they invest in that video technology for a single game that they know it's going to happen right here. They have an idea of what's going to happen, right? And they still can't agree on calls. Yeah. Imagine a situation in which third parties are later reviewing the decisions made by police officers that have to make these critical decisions in split-second timing. And so the video is not always completely telling in terms of what happens. And it's very difficult. And I've been involved in use of force situations in which my supervisor showed up and asked me if I thought it was a good, clean use of force. And my response was yes. And then we looked at it from a video perspective, and it looked completely different than the force that was applied. And I've seen where it can be both a benefit, and then I've seen where, it hindered law enforcement to where we're further explaining how this could have happened.
I am generally pro, dashboard cameras, body cameras, all of that. But I am also always going to err on the side of the officer's judgment at the time because of that exact situation that you just illustrated. You have to remember, when you're reviewing it, sitting in a quiet, safe room somewhere, and you're trying to think about what your best decision would be if in that situation. Well, a lot of times, like you said, it's a split-second life or death, possibly, decision that these guys have to make. So you don't have the time to sit there and critically analyze the situation you're in. So
and again, you have to put it in perspective. What I share is that how I handled crisis, conflicts, decision-making in my 40s is completely different than how I would handle crisis and conflict at 21. I graduated the police academy a month after I turned 20, or after I turned 21. Wow. I'm sorry. So, again, how I handled issues at 21, and I think sometimes we'll reflect back and we'll look at the situation and say, well, couldn't the officer have done this? Shouldn't he have done, A, B, C instead? And again, you have to look at it within the framework of which we're provided. And these police officers come from different experience. They come with different levels of education and different levels of training and experience. And all those things make a difference when it comes to making decisions on use of force.
Talking to Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak, wanted to get your thoughts on a big story this week happening in the news, the situation with this Ladue police officer, female officer by the name of Cruz, Julia Cruz. There was a situation at a store where a person was shoplifting, allegedly, and the officer thought she was pulling her taser to stop this person from shoplifting. I think she had had her in custody at one point, and then the suspect broke free and tried to flee. The officer apparently yelled that she was going to fire her taser, but what she actually drew was her firearm, and she ended up shooting this suspect, who is not dead, but obviously is wounded with a gunshot wound. This week, Wesley Bell, St. Louis County prosecutor, charged the officer with a felony count of
assault second.
Assault in the second degree. That is exactly right. And now this officer faces up to, I think, 7 years in prison.
Yeah, 1 to 7 is what I was reading.
Could you just break down that situation and talk about that charge a little bit, if that's something that you agree with or don't agree with?
As far as proper charge, I think, an assault third is probably going to be a little bit more fitting.
Probably easier to prove, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think the reality of that, I think when we really get down and look at this, this is going to come down to a training issue. Mm. And
also a perfect example of that split-second decision that somebody has to make.
There's another component there that we kind of miss. I mean, it's easy, to throw back to a training perspective, but I will tell you that These come down to training issues, muscle memory, right? Making these decisions. And I can tell you that from a law enforcement perspective, we look at these as a sympathetic nervous response. I mean, all of a sudden you have this critical situation, your heart rate increases rapidly, and now you're forced to make a decision with an increased heart rate, which can throw the body into a loop immediately, right? And your body reacts to that muscle memory. And how often is that officer pulling that taser? How often are they pulling that firearm back and forth? Right. How is that taser set up on the body? And we talk about this in our CCW classes, because in times of a critical a situation where you have to immediately make a decision and you go to pull your firearm, if you have a different holster than you've carried for the last, you know, 3 years, and, you know, you're going to struggle to pull that out. If all of a sudden this officer is faced and put into a critical situation that they haven't trained properly enough for, they're going to struggle, and I can see how this happens very easily.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because when we do our advanced pistol classes at Southern Armory and we do our CCW classes there, we talk about consistently carrying in the same spot, drawing it with an unloaded weapon, and then we talk about using our firearms training simulator that we have, because you can be put in that home invasion, that burglary, that robbery on the street, and you'll know how you're going to react. And it's all about programming yourself prior to the incident.
Exactly. You know, that's why law enforcement, there's consistency in terms of the holster, and there's a uniformity for those exact same reasons. You know, I didn't, I haven't done an inspection in terms of how the officer was wearing the taser and how that unfolded. But I will tell you that this doesn't surprise me. It's not a new thing for law enforcement. These issues have happened across the country. It's law enforcement's responsibility to make sure these officers are properly trained to pull those, and they have to do exercises. And again, to break that constant muscle memory of pulling that firearm all the time.
Some people would, I think, make the argument, not me, that a shoplifting situation is not a time to use that level of force anyway, whether it be a firearm or even if it was the taser situation. How would you respond to somebody saying, well, she shouldn't even have been pulling her taser in it?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been in use of force situations where third parties might judge and suggest that I shouldn't have used that level of force. As a matter of fact, I've been on top of people using strikes when it was completely appropriate based on law and policy, where third parties were, you know,
critical.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing that. Yeah, he's not complying. He's, you know, getting these strikes.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to weigh in on that. I will tell you that making use of force decisions is complex. There's a number of different factors that go in. And so it doesn't, you know, necessarily just meet a crime. I don't think you can qualify this incident and say, well, they stole a candy bar and then you ended up doing, you know, X, Y, Z, because there's other factors, right? I mean, what's the level of resistance from the subject who's non-compliant?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, where is my backup? Those things can make a difference in terms of use of force. What's the environmental conditions? Am I fighting in daylight or low light? Can I see their hands? What's the size or aggression level of the person I'm fighting? And so there's so many different factors. I wouldn't just say, you know, it's a situation in which somebody shoplifted and then this level of force shouldn't have been done. Yeah. I think if you, again, if we look at it in a pragmatic sense, it's completely different than the officer forced to deal with that situation right then, making split second decisions, and that's how the courts look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I got a series of questions for you, because we were talking a little bit about CC. A series. Just how about two quick fired ones?
Yeah, we got to make them quick.
Right. So
I know what Aaron's series of questions look like, and that's a whole show.
Yeah, could be. He can come back.
So we're gonna go. Yeah, go rapid fire here, because we're out of time.
Your department, obviously, you guys are pro CCW for your citizens carrying.
Yes.
And then last one is this might be a whole can of worms, but how are your officers trained, and how do they react when they come upon somebody that's used force that has a CCW permit? advice for them? How about advice for a homeowner that just had to use lethal force to stop a home invasion when they encounter law enforcement?
Wow, those are some big ones. Yeah, those are some big ones.
That's not a rapid fire question.
Yeah. It is not a rapid fire question.
Go ahead.
I can tell you that in terms of the laws in the state of Missouri, is that once you interject the defense of personal defense, right? Uh-huh. The burden of proof shifts to the prosecutor, and that's an incredible burden to overcome. And so, you know, once you claim self-defense, the prosecution has the responsibility to prove that you did not believe that was necessary. And that's
right.
an incredible burden to overcome. I'm not telling you how to get away with murder. I'm telling you
right.
as a CCW holder, if you know, those might be some words that you at least share with law enforcement. If it was a true situation of self-defense.
I mean, like, you know, they show up on scene, put the gun on the ground, reholster it. How would you like them to approach your officers or vice versa?
Listen, I come across CCW permit holders all the time, and same with open carry. You know, I expect everyone to have a gun. And so... don't show me yours, I won't show you mine type
thing. I hear that a lot.
And so I'm not scared of people possessing firearms. I think it's important to communicate with law enforcement and let them know.
Okay.
Don't surprise them. But for the most part, I think law enforcement's okay with that.
Okay.
Very good. That is Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak. Apparently, you're a great follow on Twitter. That's how we got you here in the first place.
Hey, I appreciate it.
So if people do want to follow you on Twitter or if you, any other social media or maybe websites for the department, how can people keep up with you?
So, you know, individually, I have a Twitter account, Sheriff Dave Marshak, and then I'm on Facebook. You know, there's times where I'll share some personal opinions on there. The official page for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office is also on there as well, and I refrain from other views on those pages.
Very good.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, I hope we can have you back on again. So
thanks. I appreciate
it. Get to Aaron's series of questions, which we'll hit you with all of those next time.
Down.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your time today, Sheriff. Really
have a good
appreciate
day.
It. All right, we need to wrap this one up. If you missed anything, again, download that podcast, radio.com app. It's absolutely free. Go and check it out, and hopefully we'll have Sheriff back again real soon. For my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you next Saturday right back here at 3 o'clock for Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.